Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and
anything else we feel like.
We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started. Here's an old classic that sounds just as good today as it did when we were kids. guys, welcome to another edition of my podcast. Of course, my name is Mark Striegel, and you are listening to Talking Metal. How are you guys? I hope everyone's having a great summer. I can't believe how fast it is flying by. Man, and we are just getting hit over the head. When I say we, I mean my wife and I, Emily, who I was hoping was going to join me on this episode. I know she was on the last one, but the timing just didn't work out. But we are getting hit over the head with so many great shows. Man, there was Heavy Montreal, there was Iron Maiden, and we got Kiss this week. And we love Beck. I know they're not metal, but we're going to see Beck and Spoon, you know, more from the alternative side. I love that shit too. But what we do here, a Slipknot is coming up too, man. So much great stuff this summer. But what we do here is we focus on the harder rock, the heavier rock. But we're all over the map. We play extreme stuff, but we also focus a lot on the traditional sounding stuff, which is, I have to admit, where my heart is the most. Although I love hearing new up and coming bands like Betraying the Martyrs, you know, pounding me in the face with great music. And that's why I'm really psyched, because Aaron Matz from Betraying the Martyrs is on the podcast. We caught up with him right before their first show back after the fire, of course. So stay tuned for that. We're going to get to that in a bit. Aaron Matz from Betraying the Martyrs. He was en route to his first show back after the fire. We're going to talk to him about Chris Adler, of course, who just left Lamb of God and is managing their band. So a lot of cool stuff. Stay tuned for that short but cool interview with Aaron coming up soon. But right now, man, God, Steve Stevens. Really, there's about like 10 guitar players from the 80s era that I could really, you know, rattle off that are just my favorites and meant so much to me as a teenager and continued to mean a lot to me throughout my adult life. And he is one of those guys, man. And I've been wanting to interview him since we started this show back in 2005. It finally happened. So a couple shout outs. I want to give a shout out to Steven from the Growing Up Rock podcast, who pointed me in the right direction because he had interviewed Steve Stevens. He said, talk to Josie. Josie is the beautiful wife of Steve Stevens. So I reached out to her a bunch of times and she finally responded. And wow, she gave us the gold star treatment. We were picked up in a golf cart, whisked backstage, taken downstairs to meet with Steve Stevens. So big shout out to Josie Stevens for hooking this up. I really appreciate it. And anything you or Steve need, we are here for you because you treated Emily and I so great. And yeah, so let's just shut up. Let's get right into the interview. We heard Atomic Playboys opening the show. I had that on cassette, my Steve Stevens cassette. Really loved that tune, loved that album. There was a sweet cover on there. There was some really good stuff on there. And really have loved so much stuff that this guy has put out over the years. And it's been diverse stuff. I mean, we're going to talk to him about Bozio, Levin, Stevens, which they put out two great albums. I was a big fan of the first one, especially Blacklight Syndrome. We're going to talk to him about Michael Jackson. We're going to talk to him about Billy Idol, Ozzy Osbourne. There's so much here. So without further ado, this is the man, Steve Stevens, here, finally, on Talking Metal. What an honor. What an honor. Little music to get us in, and then we'll hear from Steve Stevens.
Last night, a little dancer came dancing to my door. Last night, a little angel came pumping on my floor. She said, come, baby, got a license for love. And if it expires, pray help from above. Because in the midnight hour, she cried more. With a rebel yell, she cried more. Wow! In the midnight hour, babe, more.
This is Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, and we are here at the PNC Arts Center in New Jersey. And we are about to talk with Grammy Award-winning artist Steve Stevens. Steve, thanks so much for sitting down and talking with us today.
My pleasure. Great to be here.
So much stuff that you've done throughout your career. I mean, it's really mind-boggling when I went back and was reminiscing over everything that you've done. But let's start with what's going on now. Deadland, Ritual. There's two songs out.
Sure.
And is there a full length coming, or is it just the two songs?
We plan on recording the record by the end of this year. We actually, you know, the initial plan was to do the record before we went out and played dates. But due to the scheduling of our producer, who Greg Fiedelman, who was finishing up Slipknot,
right?
And my Billy Idol, this tour kind of coming back to back, we got squeezed for time. So we said, you know, let's go out and let's, you know, play the dates anyway, kind of test the material. We played about eight original songs. And I said to Geezer, you know, I said, well, how long was it, you know, that you guys were playing the Black Sabbath record before you recorded it? And he said, oh, about 6 months. He said, yeah, you know, this, you get to kind of see what the audience thinks in the material. You can try out different arrangements and things like that. And I thought, wow, that's, if it was good enough for Black Sabbath to do it that way, it was good enough for us. And it actually worked out really well that we did play the material, you know, in front of people that maybe hadn't, you know, hadn't heard anything other than the two tunes. But
how many shows have you done?
It's about 25 shows.
Really? You've done that many? Okay.
Yeah, about 25 shows.
Okay. And Matt Sorum, Geezer Butler, you've been friends with them for a while, or
Matt, I have, and Frankie Perez, the
singer. Yes, the singer. I was going to get to him.
So we've been friends together over 20 years. Geezer's a new acquisition. You know, we had talked initially about, you know, Matt, Frankie, and myself doing something, putting a band together, and then we said, well, we need a bass player, and we started thinking about it. And then Matt said, you know, I just read this interview, Geezer Butler, and, you know, Black Sabbath, you know, he's finished his last dates and he's looking for a new band. And,
wow.
And we just thought, you know, wouldn't it be great? But he'll never do it. But, you know, you don't know until you ask. And lo and behold, you know, he said, oh, send me some material. And, you know, we sent him a couple of you know, rudimentary demos. And then we just got in a room and chemistry was kind of undeniable.
Wow. Cool. Very cool. Well, we're looking forward to hearing more from you guys. And wow, what a lineup. Matt Sorum, Steve Stevens, Geezer Butler, and Frankie Perez, who, just a little bit on Frankie, where do you know him from and what's his past?
Well, Frankie's a guy that I initially met through Billy Morrison, the rhythm guitar player in Billy Idol. He and Matt were in a band called a covers band called Camp Freddy. Frankie would guest. And I always went, well, who's that guy? You know? And then I've seen Frankie go on in front of before Steven Tyler or Corey Taylor or Billy Idol. And people are, you know, walk out of the place going, that guy was incredible.
Yeah, he really
is. So he's, you know, he's kind of like, you know, anybody that can go in front of, you know, go up and sing in front of those kind of quality singers. I just thought, you know, it's just a matter of him having the right vehicle, really. So, you know, he was always the one guy that I thought, yeah, I really would love to be in a band with him. And then last year I toured as a solo artist in Europe and Frankie came and we did like the kind of greatest hits of my career. Everything from old, you know, Atomic Playboy things. We did Top Gun. We did Dirty Diana. And Frankie, it was great because he was able to adapt, make all of those kind of songs his own without, you know, mimicking any of the artists that I originally did them with. And I thought, well, that's a sign of a great singer, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really make it their own.
Absolutely. I want to go way, way back. I interviewed Bill O'Coin shortly before he died, and he told me that he was the one that brought you to Billy Idol. Is that how you remember it?
Yeah. Bill had a part. I've got to give full credit to his partner, Rick Aliberti. Mm-hmm. Rick was the guy at Elektra who actually signed Queen to the United States. I was in a band called the Fine Malibus. It was not a very great name, but right. So It was me and a bunch of guys from Clarksville, Tennessee, and we recorded for Island Records. We went down to the Compass Point Studios in the Bahamas, and the record, our producer was Jimmy Miller, who produced the Rolling Stones. But for various reasons, the record was shelved, wasn't released.
Wow.
And came back to New York, and we contacted Bill O'Coin for management.
Yeah.
We said, we got to get out of this record deal. Record, you know, we need to re-record or remix or whatever, you know, we need to do. And Bill and Rick Aliberti started to manage the band. And it became apparent that what I was looking to do was beyond the capabilities of the band, you know.
Right.
Nothing bad about those guys. It was just I was looking for something different. I really needed a musical foil, a partner, you know. I needed my Mick Jagger. You know?
Right, right, right.
It's Keith in search of Mick,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
And or Jimmy Page in search of Robert Plant.
Right.
And I left the band, and O'Coin continued to manage me. And we actually placed an ad in the back of Village Voice, you know, guitarist looking for singer, drummer, right. Bass, you know, all this. And it was I started to receive tapes. And then Bill called me one day and said, do you know who Billy Idol is? And by then, dancing myself was
right.
Being played in the clubs. And I said, absolutely. You know, he said, well, he's moved to New York. We're managing him and you guys should meet. And and that really was the beginning of, it wasn't like we met and went, great.
Right.
You know, it was, we hung out for quite a while because Billy, obviously coming from, you know, the English punk rock scene was totally different than the musical stuff that I was into.
Yeah.
You know, I was still into my, you know, early 70s, you know, Guitar Hero, English Guitar Hero.
Sure.
But also being from New York, I knew all of the Lou Reed stuff and I'd seen, you know, the Ramones and Johnny Thunders. I, you know, being in Manhattan at that time, I saw all Blondie and Television, Talking Heads. So I had absorbed the kind of new wave, maybe not so much the New York punk thing, but the New York kind of experimental art
yes.
thing. And Billy and I just kind of like, we just started hanging out and talking music. And I said, look, even if I'm not the guitar player, I know every musician in New York.
Right.
So here's a bass player I suggest. Here's a drummer I'd suggest. And then I said, just consider me when it comes to the guitar. I don't know if they auditioned anyone else. But by then I had kind of figured out what was needed for the gig. And I went,
yeah.
Oh, I see what he's looking for.
Right, right.
He wants a guy who can play punk rock, you know, with the energy of punk rock and maybe the simplicity and immediacy of punk rock, but also textural. He was talking about guys like John McGee from Susie and the Banshees.
Okay.
And you know, even Andy Summers and
right.
XTC and all this stuff that I was kind of getting turned on to. So it's just a matter of really adapting my style a little bit
right.
and taking direction. I mean, that's what I always tell musicians. They say, oh, how have you managed to last 37 years with Billy? I said, you know, we respect each other, but also as a guitar player, you have to take direction sometimes.
Yeah.
If someone's written a song and they bring it to you, they don't want you to, you know, shred all over it. It's the last thing they're looking for. They're looking for you to bring their song to life. And I was always good at that, I think,
yeah.
You know.
But, you know, you were also great at, I mean, an album that I loved was Blacklight Syndrome, which you... is the opposite of that. I mean, it was almost like a middle finger to the industry, if you will. I mean, 14 minute songs, crazy playing. The musicianship was just outstanding. Of course, Terry Bozzio and
Tony Levin.
Yeah. Right. Can you talk about doing that? Cause that to me was really, almost a left turn from what we knew you for at that point,
right.
You know, Vince Neil, Billy Idol, all the stuff you've done.
I mean, for some reason, when Terry Bozzio is the initial impetus for that.
Right.
And when his manager said, we're going to, you know, how would you like to do this improvisational, you know, neo-prog project where you go into the studio with nothing prepared? And Terry said, great, you know, and they said, okay, well, guitar players, here's a list. And the usual names were on there of guys that are
right.
known. And Terry said, I'd like to contact Steve Stevens. And after I met with Terry, I understood why, because the, you know, missing persons kind of made their career at the same time as Billy Idol. Mm-hmm. And if you look at Terry Bozzio's capabilities as a drummer,
right,
technically it's not what Missing Persons is about. And I think he recognized that I had capabilities beyond what maybe you hear initially,
yeah,
but also I would bring sense of melody to it.
Right.
So Terry and I got together. He was living in Austin at the time, and we just hung out, and we were in his garage jamming. You know, it was great. And then we said, you know, once there was like a cool vibe, you know, a couple of days in, we said, all right, we got to get a bass player. Who could we get? And I went, oh, we'll never get him, but wouldn't it be great to have Tony Levin?
Yeah.
And he was available for that window of time. And that's kind of how those records were done.
Yeah. Two great records. And you mentioned the song Dirty Diana earlier, which it was just, I mean, 35 million copies of that album sold. Michael Jackson, Quincy Jones. Any brief memories you could share of working with those guys on that great song?
Yeah, you know, it was like the first high profile thing that I had done outside of Billy Idol, and I was nervous.
Yeah.
Because
you were in the video too, actually. I remember.
Yeah. Well, that was part of the agreement to do the recording. I said, you know, if it's a video, I want to do it. But when doing the Billy Idol records, you know, it was always Billy, myself, and our producer, Keith Forsey. It's a very small group of people.
Right.
No entourage, no hangers on. You know, it was like very kind of, immediate kind of little group of people. And I thought when I went to record with Michael, I thought there'd be this huge entourage and all this. And I walk in the studio and it's the same thing. It's right. Michael, Quincy, and the engineer.
Wow, that was it. Really?
Nobody else, no big catering, no, you know, yeah. It was just like, and it was very chill. And they worked very much the same way as I did with Billy. You know, we put the track up and Michael said, you know, this is, he kind of sang the melody.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, what do you hear on it? Let's take care of that stuff.
Right.
Let's get you happy first. And I said, and then roll the tape and I'll do what I feel like it, you know. And I think the end result was an amalgamation of the
right.
of the two kind of things.
Right. Right so, on. Right on.
Cool. Yeah, we can go a little longer.
Okay.
Yeah, we can go a little longer.
I didn't hear you.
We can go a little longer.
5 minutes, cool? Or
she's the boss.
Atomic Playboys, a very famous producer was involved, two famous producers, right, involved with that record. Let's start with Ted. Memories of working with Ted Templeman?
Well, Ted signed me to Warner Brothers. And Ted didn't work on the record.
He didn't. Okay.
Yeah, he signed. He was my A&R guy, and I was a fan of so many of Ted's records, and I loved hanging with him. We would go back to the Warner Brothers. Let me backtrack. I wasn't looking to sign a solo deal outside of Billy Idol.
Right.
But Ted was such a cool guy that you know. I remember when I went initially. I was living in New York. I came out to L.A. to meet with him. We went to dinner, and we go back to the Warner Brothers office well after midnight. And he opens his office and starts playing me the original acetates of Captain Beefheart that he did.
Wow.
And he said, well, I said, you know, my favorite Van Halen record is, you know, Fair Warning.
Right.
So, oh, you want to hear the original acetate?
Wow.
You know, straight off the mastering. And Ted had an incredible stereo. And we just talked music. And I said, all right, I'll sign with you, you know. And it became obvious that I just didn't have the energy to do Billy Idol and Atomic Playboys.
Right.
And so I had to decide, I put my energies into that. And Bo Hill was the producer
Hill, right.
on
yes.
it. And, you know, I was used to, like, by then, you know, massive budgets with Idol and writing in the studio and spending a lot of money. And really, you know, that was my biggest mistake because I should have started from as a baby band, really.
Right.
I brought a huge sound system and lights on the road and buses and all this kind of stuff. And I just couldn't keep it going financially. Right. I was losing a lot of money.
Sure.
Because I was spoiled.
Yeah.
You know, I was used to working with Billy Idol, but I enjoyed doing the record, certainly. And I think there's a couple of tracks on that record which should have inevitably been on Billy Idol records.
Okay. Right.
You know, yeah. but it was cool. I mean, everything, you know, that you do, I always look at, you know, there's never any mistakes.
Right.
There's just things that maybe don't work out, but you always learn from them.
Right.
You know, and I learned not to waste a lot of money on that.
Right on. Cool. It was, to wrap things up here, a couple of years ago, reported that you were doing some writing with Ozzy. How many songs did you write with him? And do you have any updates on what's going on with him?
Yeah, I think there's one which kind of rose to the top. I was asked to write with him by Billy Morrison, the second guitar player, Billy Idol, their buddies. And I have a home studio. So they said, can I bring Ozzy over to do some writing? There's one song which we wrote, which may see the light of day.
Okay.
I was just happy to have,
yeah.
You know, I set up my microphone and you hear that voice and you get chills. You
yeah.
just go,
yeah.
that's, you know, same as I do with Geezer when I'm in the room and you just play guitar and it's sitting next to that bass sound. It's, you know, I think, you know, I've always, you know, maintained that I'm a fan. I've never lost that kid fan thing of the music that made me want to do this.
Right on.
And I think that's what keeps me kind of like always looking to get better and work with other people. So, maybe the Ozzy thing will see the light of day.
Yeah, we'll see. And any writing going on with Billy?
That's the plan to, you know, I've got to do the Deadland record.
Right.
We're trying to schedule that to the end of this year, get it out early next year. And I think with Billy Idol, we're looking to do an EP of material, but we're looking around at, you know, different co-writers and producers. And there's a couple of people that I think are out there that I'd like to work with and see if we can gel with them.
Perfect. Well, have a great show tonight. We are psyched to see you and Billy Idol and then Bryan Adams after. What a great double bill. Really
Bryan
looking forward
to it. Bryan Show is incredible.
Yeah.
I miss just every song. And he's got an incredible band. I've been having a blast just watching those guys.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks again. We
All
really
right,
appreciate
my pleasure.
You taking time
yeah,
out.
Yeah, thank you.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
All right, that song right there, Dangerous by Bozio Levin Stevens, off of not the album I was talking to Steve about, not Blacklight Syndrome. It's actually off their second record, which is also a really great record. And yeah, wow, go buy some of that stuff on iTunes. And wow, we are ready for Deadland Ritual. I cannot wait for this band. Geezer Butler, Matt Sorum, Steve Stevens. Are you freaking kidding me? Oh my God. Get to New York, please. I cannot wait for a New Jersey or New York show by Deadland Ritual. So great. And there's two songs up on iTunes right now. You can check them out. And let's do a little sample of one right here on Talking Metal right now. By Deadland Ritual featuring Steve Stevens. Go pick that up on iTunes or Amazon Music or Spotify. I actually migrated off of Spotify over to Amazon Music. But yeah, man, good stuff. And been streaming a lot of Tool lately. I mean, one of my favorite bands of all time has finally become available on the streaming platforms. And it is wonderful. It is wonderful. I mean, I can't help but think of like a 19-year-old who doesn't have a CD player, you know, he's finally got his Tool. And I finally got my Tool because I don't listen to CDs that much anymore.
For me, it's streaming and vinyl. It really is. So thank God, Tool, one of my all-time favorite bands, a band I've been going to see consistently since 1992. Their entire music catalog is now available for streaming and downloads for the first time ever. Fans can listen to all five albums wherever they listen to music, whether that's Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube Music, you name it. It's all over the place. iTunes, just all the Pandora, all the streaming services now have Tool. And guess what, guys? A brand new record is on the way, which will be available on August 30th, Fear Inoculum. And the single is out. It's the title track. It's streaming right now. Emily and I were actually listening to it on the way to the Billy Idol show last night, the Billy Idol Bryan Adams show, which was just great. We were listening to that 10-minute song twice. You know, it took up almost more than half the ride to get to the concert. It is a great tune. I suggest everyone go listen to it because it, again, is off the new record and it is currently available. Fear Inoculum, the title track off the new record. And the new record will be their first album in 13 years. Maynard, Adam Jones, love those guys. Danny on the drums. Oh my God, I love him so much. Again, all the albums, Opiate, Undertow, Anima, Lateris, 10,000 days, spanning over 20 years of Tool music, all up there on iTunes. I was just listening to Eulogy, Stinkfist, Sober. I remember the music video for that too. That was so good. So many great, great songs by Tool currently available on the streaming platforms. Tool's entire music catalog now available for streaming and downloads for the first time ever. Go listen to it today. And get ready for that new album dropping August 30th. And on that note, let's get into my interview with Aaron Matz from Betraying the Martyrs. This interview was recorded back on August 1st, so let's check it out right now here on Talking Metal.
Hey, it's Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, and on the Skype, we have Aaron Matz from Betraying the Martyrs. Aaron, how are you, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good, good. We've all been following everything that's been going on with you guys, and our hearts and prayers and thoughts are with you guys. We're just glad everyone's all right. But man, what an ordeal you've been through.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We can really feel the love. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it wouldn't be so easy if we didn't have everyone's support. So that's been really, really helpful.
Yeah, and there is, just right off the bat, there is a GoFundMe page that is happening. For anyone who doesn't know, you guys had a horrible fire on your van and basically lost everything except your lives. I mean, it was bad.
It was, yeah, it was terrible, man. It happened after our show in Los Angeles on our last tour in the United States. It was actually our first headlining tour, and we got finished up playing in Los Angeles, and we'll drive into the next show, and then about 2.5 hours into the drive. Our driver kind of woke us up and, you know, got us all rushing out of the van and the whole trailer was ablaze. Yeah, it was terrible to watch everything just kind of burn down. Yeah, it was awful.
And the driver sounds like he really had some courage because he was not only basically saved you guys, but he was trying to save equipment and running back into the flames and risking his life for you guys, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, his name is Daniel Johnson. He really deserves a mention there. He rushed into the flames. You know, he managed to get a jerry can full of gas out. He got like one of the suitcases out. But most importantly, he managed to unattach the trailer from the van itself and then move it away from the flames. So
right,
really saved us all, man.
Well, thank God for that. And again, our hearts have gone out to you guys, and we're gonna have the GoFundMe page link through today's show notes on talkingmetal.com. And so what's the status? You guys, obviously the rest of the American tour was scrapped, but you guys are currently, you're playing again now, right?
Yeah. We had a festival appearance today in Romania, booked for quite some time.
Cool.
And and we were lucky enough that the organizers of the festival, they said, listen, you know, we don't want you to miss the appearance. We're going to get all the gear. You know, they rented out a bunch of gear, everything that we need. So we just flew over here, you know, with a couple of guitars that we had. And we were able to do the show thanks to them.
Awesome. So we are recording this on August 1st, 2019. Is this the first show back since the fire?
It is, yes.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's best of luck to you guys. I would imagine that's going to be an emotional thing, stepping back on stage, and I can't wait to hear how it goes.
Yeah. Well, most importantly, well, I'm about to step into a van right now, so that's going to be more emotional than getting right on stage. But yeah, listen, we're going to get back on our feet, and yeah, like I said, thanks to all the fans and all the brands that are helping us out, we're going to be able to get on the road pretty soon. So
very good. And again, the GoFundMe page is linked through talkingmetal.com. The new album is still on target for a September 13th release day, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
Rapture. And let's talk a little bit about the album. Who were you guys working with in the studio? Was there a certain producer or mixer that helped you out on this?
Yes. So we recorded all of the instrumentals in Czech Republic with Tamás from Babylon Studios. He's a friend of ours. He actually plays in a prog band called Modern Day Babylon. And he just offered, he said, listen, guys, you know, like my studio needs some kind of promotion. I'll record you guys for free.
Wow.
And we were like, wow. Yeah. So we just went over there, and the studio is incredible. So, yeah, if anyone wants to, you know, get in a great studio that's really worthwhile, go check out Babylon Studios in the Czech Republic. And then for the vocals, we went over to London and recorded with Justin Hill from a band called Sick. He worked with us on the last record. He actually tracked the whole of the last record, including the vocals. And we just had a really good time with him. You know, like we felt really comfortable. You know, he put us in a good mind space to record. You know, to get our parts and get the best out of the both of us. So yeah, went back over there, and finally it was mixed by Henrik Udd from Sweden, who worked on the last Architects record, and he's done Bring Me the Horizon record, and he's just fantastic, and he made everything sound just the way we wanted it to.
Perfect. Well, I cannot wait to hear the whole album. I've heard Parasite and Eternal Machine, and they are just sounding fantastic. So again, we are anxiously awaiting the new record, Rapture, on September 13th. You can pre-order it now. The two songs that I mentioned are available for streaming and download currently. And you know, there's been a lot in the news lately about Chris Adler leaving Lamb of God, and he of course is working with you guys. Can you explain his official role with you guys?
Yeah, he's our manager. He's the band's manager.
Right on. And you know, I haven't really heard why he's leaving Lamb of God, but I found it curious that, you know, it was announced he's going to be managing you guys, and then like a couple months later, it's announced he's out of the band. Is he focusing more on the management side of things and kind of stepping away from performing? Do you know any of the details behind his exit from Lamb of God?
No, not necessarily. And I can confirm that the two events are absolutely not linked in any way. But at the same time, the Lamb of God business, that's not my right place to say. And I really don't know the ins and outs. That's strictly a between Chris and the rest of the guys kind of situation.
I gotcha. Cool. Now, you've been doing this with Betraying the Martyrs since, I think, 2010, 2011. You started playing with them. And we're going on, what, 8-9 years now. What have been some of the highlights of your time with the band?
Ooh. Wow, there's so many. I mean, you know, with Sumerian Records, that was, you know, obviously a huge highlight for us because that was really the record label that we had in mind. You know, that was our like goal. And to have that happen was crazy. And then they kind of thrown us into a whirlwind of touring and, you know, put us on some major tours, one of those being the Mayhem Tour in 2012 in the United States with bands like Slipknot and Slayer and Motorhead. That was crazy. And I know, just traveling the world and seeing all the things that we've been able to see and playing with all the bands that, you know, we've idolized for so many years. It's just been a really great journey, man. It's really hard to pick out, you know, some of the best moments. You know, you never know when another highlight is around the corner. And I have a feeling that today we're headlining a stage here at this festival in Romania today, and yeah, it's going to be fantastic. I heard that the crowd's going to be huge, and I can imagine today will be a highlight just to put in with the rest of them.
Right on.
We also played we did a full Asian tour a few months back, and we played a huge festival called MIDI Festival in China, and that was just insane. I think that was definitely up there with one of the, you know, one of the best three shows we've ever played, and that'll be a moment that we'll never forget. Absolutely.
Cool. Well, I know you're getting ready for this return to the stage, and just want to send you all the best of luck. We cannot wait for you guys to get back to the States. Is there a plan to get you guys back here?
That would be ideal. You know, it's complicated because we have, you know, we need to get work visas to get over there. We have visas valid until March next year. So if we do come back, it will either be before then or, you know, quite a while after that. So hopefully before March next year, but we'll see what happens. Maybe this podcast or this radio station will bring us in a great tour. You never know.
You never know. Well, Aaron, thank you so much, and I appreciate your time. Sorry I was running late to call you, but we wish you the best of luck with the show, and we want you back in the States. So let's hope that that happens sooner than later.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time too, man. Thank you for having me.
Keep in touch, please.
All right. Take care, man.
Bye.
Like we're trapped inside an empty room. No light of day, a single ray could break this feeling of doom. I look across, who do I see? It's you or no, I know. But I ain't taking this, no, not this time. You turn my mind into a ugly sight. You better run or fucking hide.
Let's head to Paris, girl. We're going to
by Betraying the Martyrs. And we'll have those links up in today's show notes where you can support Aaron and Betraying the Martyrs. So we wish them all the best of luck. Well, man, they got hit hard. So I'm just glad everyone's safe, man. I'm glad everyone's safe. Everyone's out there still rocking. And good stuff. So right now, let's get into another interview. This is with Pat from the Hall of Heavy Metal History. I recorded this interview up at the induction ceremony when Anthrax was inducted into the Hall of Heavy Metal History in Montreal, Canada, at Heavy Montreal. And I got to talk with Pat about what the Hall of Heavy Metal History actually is. And it's a very cool thing. So here we go. This is my friend Pat.
Hey, it's Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, still at Heavy Montreal, here with Pat Gesualdo, who was just on stage with Anthrax, or in the media tent, presenting Anthrax or inducting Anthrax into, and correct me if I'm wrong, Pat, but the Hall of Heavy Metal History, right?
Yes, sir. Correct. Yep.
What What a great event and so much fun. Let's talk a little bit about you and what the Hall of Heavy Metal History is.
Well, and first of all, thank you guys for helping so much and all your support. I deeply appreciate that. I really, really do. So I started the Hall. We started about 4 years ago now. We're actually almost 5 years. And basically, we did it to induct, you know, those metal musicians who have carried the flag for so long, you know, and whether, you know, they've been working so hard and they just don't get the honor that they deserve, frankly. So I was how the whole thing started was I was watching the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame several years ago, and they inducted Deep Purple. It was the year Deep Purple was inducted. And they kind of panned the camera to John Lord's wife, who was accepting on his behalf. And, you know, the camera just kind of panned to the audience, and everybody's half asleep. Then they inducted Easy, and the place went crazy. Right. So, you know, it really pissed me off. And I'm thinking, well, first of all, why is Easy even in there, number one, right?
Right.
So I thought to myself right then and there, something needs to be done as a metal award show. Nothing's been done. I think I'm going to do it, and I think I'm going to call it the Hall of Heavy Metal History. And that was in April, and in January we had our first show. So it was pretty good.
Okay. And how many people have been inducted so far? Obviously, you had Anthrax today.
Oh, many, yeah. We've had everybody from Ronnie James Dio and Motorhead and Scorpions and Ross the Boss and, like I said, Randy Rhodes and, oh man, Frank Bello and Dave Elfson, Mike Portnoy. So the list goes on and on and on.
And there's been some pretty like high profile ceremonies to induct these guys. I mean, there was the one with, I remember watching with Lee Kerslake where you inducted him, which was so cool to see him back. What's the goal with this? Are you looking to do like an actual TV special, kind of like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame does? Where do you envision this? Where do you want this to go?
Well, we're working on all of that right now, actually, yes. And myself and Wendy Dio. We're working on it diligently. And yeah, there's been some great galas every year. We do an annual gala every year, inducting a lot of not only the musicians, but the executives. You know, we've done Slagle, Brian Slagle from Hellblade, and, you know, everybody. So, that's worked out very, very well.
And just to back it up a little bit, you're working, Wendy Dio works with you on this?
Yeah, Wendy and I had originally launched this several years ago, yeah. And we have some other things in the works as well, Wendy and I, yeah. So it's a great honor, yep.
And do you think there we could eventually get this, like, on an HBO, or, I mean, there's so many different platforms now with the streaming content, Netflix and Amazon Prime. I mean, I would love to see something like an actual award show. I mean, the Revolver was doing it for a while, and I guess that kind of disappeared, but we need this. I mean, how are we going to get this to the masses?
Well, we're just about there. Okay. That's all I'm going to say for now, but that's everything is in the works of what you mentioned.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And the guys in Anthrax, again, accepting today. Let's talk a little bit about Anthrax. Earliest Anthrax memories for you?
Oh, going way back right to the beginning, you know, right to the beginning. And what a great honor to have them as well, you know. And that's what it's all about. They're another perfect example of a band that's been carrying the flag for us for so long and working so hard, you know, and they absolutely deserve the honor for sure.
Cool. And coincidentally, we live in Maplewood, New Jersey. We're up here in Montreal, and we're saying, where are you from? You're from Mountain Lakes. We love Mountain Lakes.
Yeah, I'm not that far from you. Yeah. Funny you mentioned that.
You grew up in Jersey?
Yes, I did. Woodbridge, Avenel.
Oh, Woodbridge. Cool. So you meant the Old Bridge. Oh, I'm not getting Woodbridge and Old Bridge. The Old Bridge Militia. Different town.
Oh, yeah, well, Old Bridge, and then, of course, you had the Birch Hill. And of course, you know, speaking of Old Bridge, you know, we inducted Johnny and Marsha Z. Oh, Johnny Z and Marsha.
Megaforce.
Yeah, and Metallica did the induction for us last year, which was great. Yeah. And it was really a great honor to have them involved, too, for sure.
Very cool. Well, I'm excited to hear what you have in store. We got to hang out. We have a fellow New Jersey guy here and also a mutual love for heavy metal and hard rock. Thank you for doing what you do, and thank you for flying the flag. And, yeah, let's take this to the masses. I think it's a great idea. I want to support you and help you any way we can.
Well, thank you so much. I honestly mean that from the bottom of my heart. That really is a great honor. Thank you so much. Because I can't do it without you and the media. You know, we're one family, and we all have to stick together. That's my perspective on starting this whole thing right from the very beginning. So, and thanks to all the fans, too, for sure.
And is there a website or a social media platform you'd like people to check out?
Yeah, the Facebook or the website is thehalloftheavymetalhistory.org.
Okay, Pat, thank you so much. We appreciate the time.
The bounty hunter.
Justice, some classic Anthrax going back to the mid-1980s right there. Guys, you guys are the best. We got some of the patrons asking for music. Kenny, I haven't forgotten about you, man. You are saying, why don't we play some of the more heavier stuff, the hardcore stuff, Carcass, Slayer, Agnostic Front, Hatebreed, Madball, Crowbar. You got it, dude. Let's do some Hatebreed right now on Talking Metal.
One set a shotgun to my head, they said I wasn't worth the bullets. Now the world is my trigger and I'm here to fucking pull it. One set a shotgun to my head, they said I wasn't worth the bullets. Now the world is my trigger and I'm here to fucking pull it. Still here, still here. I can't hesitate. Eyes wide open, pupils dilate.
Today by Hatebreed here on Talking Metal. My name is Mark Striegel. Follow me on Instagram. It's at Talking Metal, or on Twitter, the same thing. Search me out on Facebook. You spell my last name like this, Striegl. And again, the first name is Mark with a K, M-A-R-K, Striegl. Thank you, Kenny, for supporting me. Kenny McCrimmon. I appreciate your support on Patreon, Kenny. And I wanted to also give a shout out to Martin McGarry, who gave a PayPal donation. You can give those PayPal donations if you don't want to do Patreon, want to do a one-timer. Just go to the website, which is talkingmetal.com or talkingrock.net, and make a donation there using the PayPal tabs. And this goes out to you, Martin. This is New Maps by Course of Empire.
All the submerged you up from the hole in the sea, swimming the floors of perception in through your ears while you sleep.
guys, thanks so much. Let me know how this new Zoom recorder sounds, the H5, the handy recorder. I was having trouble with the Tascam one when I was up at Heavy Montreal, so I bought another one, and then the Tascam one started working again perfectly, and I used it for the Steve Stevens interview, which I think sounds pretty good. I plugged Phantom Power mics into it, you know, the XLR Phantom Powers, and yeah, that's what I'm doing right now on this H5 handy recorder Zoom, and the kids are yelling in the background. We've been away, we've been traveling a lot, so I feel like today was kind of our first day back, because last night, yesterday was consumed by the Billy Idol Steve Stevens show, you know, with Bryan Adams playing right after them, and I was getting ready and trying to learn this new recorder and writing questions and stuff. So yesterday was a wash, but today we just have kids running in and out of our house, which is great because my kids have been on vacation. Been a crazy busy 3 weeks for the Striegels, and I'm glad they're reuniting with their friends here where we live in Maplewood, New Jersey, which if people are wondering where Maplewood is, it's very close to Newark, the Newark airport, but it's like a nice neighborhood. It's not like, you know, Newark's nice. I mean, Newark has some nice parts, but you know, it's more a suburban feel. So, but you know, we're about 23 miles outside of Manhattan. Yeah. Anyways, good stuff. And to take us out, let's hit another request by a patron, my dear friend, Jerry from Long Island, who always comes bearing gifts whenever I meet up with him, and he wanted to hear, let me just pull this text up from him, because Jerry from Long Island, you wanted to hear Savoir to Assassin from the new Terra Maze album. Am I saying those things? The album is, am I saying those things correctly, Jerry? The album is called Are We Soldiers? So here we go. Right now, to take us out, a little music requested by Jerry from Long Island. This is Terra Maze off the album Are We Soldiers? There you go.